Even if you've seen a lot of movies about class struggle, you can bet you've never seen one like Parasite. From director Bong Joon-ho, it tells the story of two families, one with a lot of money and one struggling to just get by.
Parasite won the top prize, the Palme d'Or, at this year's Cannes Film Festival, and it's South Korea's entry into the 2019 Oscars race. It's just started to roll out in theaters in the U.S. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. We are very excited to talk about Parasite today and very committed to not spoiling its surprises, so don't go away.
Maddie Sofia here, host of a new daily science podcast from NPR called Shortwave. This week, the first all-female spacewalk. We got to talk to both of those astronauts in space.
We have you loud and clear, NPR.
Listen for that and subscribe to Shortwave from NPR.
Welcome back. You just met NPR Music's Stephen Thompson. Also with us is Glenn Weldon of the NPR Arts Desk. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
And in our fourth chair today, we are delighted to have NPR Arts correspondent Netta Ulaby. Hi, Netta.
Hello, hello.
Glenn and I saw Parasite at the Toronto International Film Festival. It's just rolling out, as we said, in the U.S. The basic setup, I do want to say, there's a lot of publicity around this movie that says, don't find out anything about it. It does certainly have some twists and turns, but I also think there's a danger with a movie that opens like really small and then rolls out, that if you don't talk about it at all, people don't understand why they should go see it.
Sure.
So we do want to have the conversation. We're being as careful as we can. The basic setup at the beginning is you have a family, the Kims. They are living in a small apartment, kind of an underground apartment. Really don't have much of anything. They have to kind of pinch their Wi-Fi from different places. They are really kind of improvisationally living. And then you have a family, the Parks, who are very rich, living in a beautiful house, it must be said. And the Kims kind of gradually insinuate themselves into the lives of the Parks. And then various things ensue. Glenn, what did you think of this movie?
I really dug it. I like a lot of Bong Joon-ho films. But this one is...
Snowpiercer, he did.
Yes, Snowpiercer. I wanted to like more. And I really liked the host. I didn't like Okja that much. But this is the one that I think is probably his peak. You know, he exists in this space where every genre kind of blends and they kind of have bleeding edges. So the genre ceases to exist. So he plays with it. But, you know, this has... It's a long con movie, as you mentioned. It's a family drama. It's a farce. It's a thriller. It's all those things simultaneously. And there's a series of hairpin turns that happen. Each one of them is set up by this amazing little set piece. It could be a big set piece or a small one. A set piece as small as the suspenseful preparation of a soup, which is, it's so assured, though, and it does such patient work setting up its dominoes that when you think back on it after you've seen it, you think that all these right turns and left turns, which come out of nowhere while you're watching the film, are all perfectly set up. So it's so... It builds to an incredibly satisfying finale. So, yeah, I really dug it.
And it is a film about, ultimately, capitalism and wealth. And I think he's sort of said everything. You know, almost every story is in some way about capitalism and wealth, depending on when you're making it. Netta, where do you come down on the Parasite question?
You know, it would have taken more than 8 minutes to make that soup. That's all I'm saying.
No,
this
sure.
is a guy who has not made soup in his life.
Yeah.
At the same time, sort of struggling back and forth about how much to give away, there's a shortcut being made in the soup preparation that is also very telling about what happens with the movie as a whole. I mean, it's a cheap packet of soup that is standing in for homemade, real, lovingly made soup. Look, I love Bong Joon-ho. I do. I really love him. I love Guillermo del Toro. The last time I was on this podcast, I dogged all over The Shape of Water. And I am going to dog all over Parasite
now. We bring Netta in here to speak ill of her favorite
Why do you do this to me? This is the worst. All of my boyfriends, and you make me hate them. And I did not love Parasite as much as everyone else did, but it's partly because I'm a genre girl. I love a real horror movie, and this movie was a little neither here nor there for me. Sorry.
Don't apologize to me. Apologize to Bong Joon-ho.
I will when I interview him later this week.
Jesus. Stephen Thompson, where are you in Parasite?
Very, very, very pro. I took this movie in, as much as it's blending genre, I really took this film in as a dark comedy. Mm-hmm. And as such, really, really enjoyed it. I appreciated the fact that it manages to be blunt in its metaphor. One family lives basically underground. One family lives basically above ground. But I didn't feel like it was blunt in its characterization. And I really appreciated that. I like the fact that the Parks are the rich family. They're oblivious and gullible, but they're not monsters. So it's not necessarily hitting you over the head with its characterization. I appreciated how funny this movie is, especially early on, and even later in its set pieces. There is a, not to give anything away, but there is a scene with an overflowing toilet that manages to be incredibly visually stunning and so gross at the same time. A lot of people in talking about this movie talk about its opening scenes of the Kims as they're struggling, as they're like, they have this really crappy job assembling pizza boxes that manages to be funny and telling and gross. I love how this movie works, I think, as a perfect companion piece to a couple of the other most striking films of 2019, specifically the movie Us and the movie Hustlers. Hustlers is a companion piece I hadn't really thought of at first, but they're kind of both about the wages of grift and about attempting to take too much. So I think one thing that I love about this movie is how neatly it fits into some of the overarching themes of my favorite movies of 2019. I really, as Glenn would say, I really dug it.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I thought was interesting about it, particularly in the first part of it, where it is more in that kind of long con space, it's in that kind of grift space, and a more overtly comedic space. Mm-hmm. I liked the fact that the trespass upon the Parks, as it were, takes place in kind of a series of steps. And I very much enjoyed the way those steps are kind of, they're graduated in their aggressiveness. Mm-hmm. So you see the initial contact between the families happens because somebody is invited, essentially, to be a sub for somebody else as a tutor. The son of the Kim family is invited to sub for a friend of his as a tutor for the Park's daughter. And that is a pretty above-board thing to do. Mm-hmm. And then you sort of get it gets a little bit more grifty at each step.
You know, you're calling it a grifter movie. It's kind of a vampire movie. They have to be invited in, don't they? And, you know, here again, I'm gonna push back. You see that long con coming a mile away.
Sure. I think that's right.
All of the class stuff is so on the nose. I just found the movie so deeply on the nose. I wasn't surprised by a single thing, including the thing we're not supposed to talk about.
That is surprising to me. You are a smarter person than I am.
No. I mean, look, I think it's fair to say we know a thing is coming and we know that it's a class movie and all of that stuff was so obviously telegraphed. I'm so sorry.
Sure, but
let's just leave now.
Can we compare and contrast to Snowpiercer, though, which is, you say, it was
even
on the nose. I mean, that was a giant nose and this is a small, petite little button nose.
And, you know, and that is why this movie made me a little bit sad, because Bong Joon-ho, He has not softened his touch.
Yeah, I don't know, because the Snowpiercer was this very broad, overt metaphor of class
could it
struggle.
Possibly have been more.
Could
overt.
Not have been bigger. This is predicated. What we see here are kind of microaggressions, like indignities, petty indignities that the family is doing, so that the thing that caps off the finale is not something overt and big. It's a very small moment, a very small observation that has been set up rigorously from the jump.
Thinking of it as a vampire movie, I'm kind of liking it more.
Right. I mean, okay. And the Park family is just so unthinkingly monstrous, or at least callous.
You know, Netta brought up that it's very on the nose, and I agree with that. However, I do think in many cases subtlety is overrated.
by which Linda holds. I live and breathe.
Subtlety is overrated. By which I mean only that I think there are times, I mean, look, a lot of us have been talking about clunky metaphors since we read Billy Budd Sailor,
sure.
Right? But you sort of admire the audacity of a blunt metaphor. Glenn, I remember you talked about seeing another film in Toronto, which has maybe an even more literal kind of horror setup of
yeah.
people trapped above each other with kind of resources trickling down the platform.
The platform, yes.
And I think sometimes those kinds of things I find kind of thrilling. I think sometimes a very direct hit is effective. I mean, I think this, the way this is done is effective, even if it is on the nose. And I think as long as there's a creativity to the presentation, I don't necessarily think it has to be, you know, any more disguised than this is. And mm-hmm. I do like the fact that he sets up, I think, the visuals of this film so carefully. And there's a moment late in the movie where it's just a shot of the Park's daughter coming down the stairs of this. In the United States, it's what I would associate with like a Pacific Northwest mansion with like lush trees outside and a very like lots of glass and open staircases. And there's a shot of the daughter coming down the stairs that I just think is so, like, all of the upsy-downsy stuff, even though, of course, yes, in retrospect, you know that the underground versus the above ground is that metaphor. But, you know, not everybody watches 8 billion movies a year and has seen the upsy-downsy symbolism of above and below ground and staircases and all that stuff. I read somewhere that he has said that that Snowpiercer was his hallway movie and this is his staircase movie. And I sort of liked it as a staircase movie.
And it's a floating staircase movie. And
yeah,
I don't know, it's hard for me not to think about how this house, this unbelievably architecturally gorgeous house in this movie, is very much a sort of modernist house. Mm-hmm. And that was an era when Korea was one of the poorest countries on the planet.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when you think about the sort of dizzying turn that Korea's economy has taken, and again, a little on the nose with this movie, the way that Korea has gone up the stairs, so to speak, the floating staircase.
Yeah, I mean, and you can have an awareness of the economy and the ups and downs of the economy. But for me, in addition to being a movie with a lot of heavy metaphor, I just found it entertaining.
Yeah.
I found it, as Glenn said, funny. It's already been gift quite a lot. Mm. The daughter of the Kim family doing little finger quotes when she's explaining that she's supposed to have a different name and be from Chicago. There's a very funny kind of bit about that I enjoyed a lot.
I'm surprised that we've talked about this movie as long as we have without addressing, I think, the uniformly excellent performances.
Yeah,
sure. I think specifically the performance of Song Kang-ho, who is Bong Joon-ho's kind of muse, mm-hmm. A guy who's turned up really, I think, in all
he
of
his... He was the guy in The Host.
Yeah.
If you've seen The Host, he's so soulful and fabulous, yes.
That is a wonderful performance. He is the grifter dad, and this kind of schlub who is doing so much. So many of the turns that this movie takes are telegraphed in his face. And there is just some wonderful acting going on there. I mean, there are performances that I would praise in this movie, except praising them would be a spoiler.
Yeah.
And I think, that right there, I mean, I think the script is extremely sharp. I don't know. I was picking up what this movie was putting down.
Now,
yeah,
when it comes to reviews, they don't affect blockbusters. Blockbusters don't need help, and they won't get hurt by bad reviews. But when it comes to foreign language films, good reviews can help at mm-hmm. least get them in front of an audience, or at least mm-hmm. give them some notice. Right now, as we tape this, there are 192 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes from critics, 191 of which are positive.
Uh-huh.
The
192nd. Other one is Netta.
You know what? I liked the movie. It's just, it was so hyped. Listeners, go to the movie, enjoy it. You're going to love it. It's going to be great. I just wish my expectations had been maybe more on the ground floor and not on the...
We're not trying to bully you out of here.
It's all right.
I think this might have the potential to break out in a way that a lot of foreign language films don't.
It's already made a fortune overseas.
Yeah.
It's made a fortune here. I think that it's already set a record for the most money made
per screen. Yeah.
It's amazing. And look, I'm a champion.
It's really okay.
But you know what? You know something I loved about the movie? You know how the house, going back to the house, Linda,
mm-hmm.
there's a screen in the house, and mm-hmm. we sit on the couch and we look at nature, mm-hmm. you know, and something about that reminded me of The Shining so much.
I get that.
The interplay between the sort of outside and the inside.
Yeah, I get that.
And I loved that that people were so preoccupied with a screen
yeah.
that was not a movie. I miss that so much in American movies. Mm-hmm. And that also felt so Bong Joon-ho to me.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting, and this is sort of related to what Glenn was saying. I think it's going to be interesting to follow the path of this film, because you obviously had a big breakout last year with Roma in terms of a foreign language film that I felt like a lot of, you know, more people saw than
often. And fetishistic about a house also.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true.
I think this is an extremely relatable movie in America.
Right. All right. Well, you know, they are gradually rolling this film out. It is only in a small number of cities as we tape this, but it is gradually spreading out, and it will eventually be in lots of theaters. So I do encourage you to look for it. Check it out.
You may have heard of this movie, Parasite.
It's true. It's true. And let us know what you think. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. You can follow our pal Netta Ulaby at Ula Beast. Thanks to all of you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please do subscribe to our newsletter. That's at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all right back here on Friday when we will discuss Jojo Rabbit.